This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM.
Hello everyone, this is Bruin Radio with Natalie Garcia and with Val Cohen.
Hi, Val here. Thank you for having me.
We would like to know about where you grew up.
Well, how much time do you have? I was born in Southern California like most of us. My parents moved me out of Southern California to Northern Idaho when I was 3. I lived most of my young life in Northern Idaho, right up by the Canadian border. I did live on the East Coast for a couple of years, and I moved to the Southern Oregon coast, in particular the Reedsport area, when I was 15.
Where did you go to school?
Well, I did not go to high school. I was homeschooled for a large part of my younger years. I did attend a small rural school in Northern Idaho, a private school on the East Coast. So you see, it's not really an easy answer. A lot of places.
Did you go to college?
I did. I attended Southwestern for a couple of years, and then I wrapped up my bachelor's at Eastern Oregon University.
What was your major?
I majored in liberal studies, minors in English, history, and writing and rhetoric.
What drew you to those subjects?
Well, I grew up reading. That's what I did. I read a lot, and that developed a huge love of literature and history. So it was a natural for me. Plus, I love to write. So, yeah.
What kinds of things do you like to write?
Well, right now, I'm writing scripts for stage. But I've written everything from short articles to poetry. I've halfway written mini novels, like many of us have.
What would you say is the hardest thing to write?
Stuff I'm not interested in. Maybe. Although I can pretty much write anything. I can write on some really boring topics. Yeah. I mean, you do a lot of writing in college, you know. And I can... Yeah, I don't know what the hard... My life, it is hard to write. Oh, wait, I take it back. People asking me to write a synopsis of my play for some reason is difficult.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of your favorite pieces of literature?
Oh, definitely 19th century novels of any sort. Everything from Russian, you know, Crime and Punishment, Tolstoy, to the usual Austen and those English writers. I also took some Irish history classes and Irish literature classes that opened me up to the whole field of 19th century Irish work. So, also, I will read anything, almost, except for maybe
the Irish literature and studies.
Oh, well, it was assigned to me in class at one point. But everything on the shelf, so...
Can you tell us more about the play that you've got going on right now?
Sure. Well, this play was actually inspired by a song written in 1974 by Pete St. John, which is The Fields of Athenry. And that's another love of mine is folk music. And so I thought, well, there's more to this story. And originally it was a novel, and I really thought that this... It's not even a story. The song is just about... The song... I talk with my hands. The song is just about a woman saying goodbye to her husband who's been caught stealing corn, and he's being sent off to Botany Bay, which is what happened to you in 19th century Ireland if you got caught even in small infractions. And I thought, no way. She's going to follow him. She's going to kick butt, and she's going to reunite her family. And I it will probably be a novel someday. But because I've already written for our local stage, I started thinking in terms of I can write this for stage, especially since my friend BJ really loves Irish culture and is really proud of her Irish accent. And she said, yes, you can do this. And so I thought about it a lot. And most of my writing happens in my head. And so I thought about it for several months. And then I actually attended a board meeting where they were talking about what plays they were going to do this year. And I still had, shh, don't tell anybody. I only had like 3 or 4 pages of it written. And I said, oh, yeah, I got this play. But fortunately, it was all in my head. So I wrote it when they put it on the books. I got down and I wrote it, but don't tell them that.
Was this the first play you've written?
No. I have partially written a lot of plays, which I should probably finish. But written and produced on the Checo Pelican Players stage was the Vinland Saga. And that grew out of an intense interest in Leif Erikson and the whole story of him coming. And it, you know, wasn't too hard to sell that to the public because we all like Viking stories. Although I have to say this is not your classic Vikings go out and chop people up kind of stereotype. It was seriously written off of the sagas. And the sagas, of course, are a mixture of history and fantasy. And we were able to put it on stage, which was more difficult than putting Athenry on stage.
Have you ever performed on stage?
Yeah. I was Mrs. Fezziwig in the Christmas Carol. No, was that the Christmas Carol? BJ? When was I Mrs. Fezziwig? Oh. I've been a drunk. A couple of times I've been a drunk on stage. Yes. On stage. On stage. No. I had no lines outside of yelling Crescent City. Okay. You should have seen that play. It was good. And I directed a play here when I was the drama coach for Brookings Harbor High School.
Can you tell us more about when you were a drama coach?
Yeah. That was, 3 years ago? Because the kids that were in that are seniors now, so freshman year. Freshman year, we did Who Walks in the Dark. It was amazing. It was incredible. We got great reviews. I really enjoyed working with the young people. And in fact, some of the guys who are in that play are in Athenry. So,
do you have any favorite plays?
Yeah, Athenry. actually, I do. Gosh, you put me on the spot. Anything in the series of Opal, which we've done the whole series here at Checo Pelican Players, which is about a quirky, funny lady who lives all by herself and pushes a cart around and collects junk and collects tea bags. And, yeah, we have to do those again. They were cool. But that's locally small-time plays that maybe people don't know about. Big-time plays, anything Shakespeare.
Yeah. If you were to direct a Shakespeare play, which one would you want to direct?
None of them. Okay. Oh, gosh. And here's the thing. If I don't know. I hadn't even thought about that. The boys asked me that just recently because we have some young people who like to do some Shakespeare. But if I were to do Shakespeare, I'm not going to do any of that business where you're doing contemporary language and contemporary costume. Nope. If you're going to do Shakespeare, right? I know probably one of the comedies because I think that would be more sellable to the small town public in general. But the idea of doing a tragedy would be so challenging and amazing.
What is Athenry about?
Athenry is set in the time of the Great Potato Famine. There was several in Ireland around that time, but in the middle of the 19th century, they had one that was completely devastating. It was also very political because, not unlike some more recent events in history, the people's suffering and the natural occurrence of the plague was taken advantage of by those in control who wanted to wipe out the Irish people. That is somewhat debatable depending on where you read your history from, but there seems to be some consensus that the English did not do enough to help the people at that time. Anyway, but that's a broad historical event, and really what this play does is it takes a family out of the middle of it and focuses on some other themes in the setting of that growing hunger. And because people who are literally dying of starvation are kind of not real lively on stage, I set my story at the beginning of that time, so my people still have some energy. So we have a family who's saying, okay, food's getting short. What are we going to do? We don't want our children to die. The wife has a certain idea of how she wants to deal with it. Husband has another idea. He's more political minded. She's more nurturing minded. But at the end of it, they come together in an idea, or they don't really come together. They're forced together in their idea of where they go. Not even their idea. I'm not even explaining my own play very well. The theme, the one of the probably the most important themes in this play is the beauty and nobility of committed married love. Because there's lots of opportunity in there for them to completely fall apart, and they don't.
Can you tell us more about the characters?
Yes. The actual actors or the characters? So we have Michael and we have Mary, right? They fell in love when they were fairly young, probably about you guys' age. They got married. They have a little child. Michael has a friend who's really energetic and might have a drinking problem. We don't know. And he's the comedic element of the play. And we have Michael's little sister, who is a little timid, but a definite interplay in their family. And we have Michael's brother, who is a priest and is kind of like the influence in their lives, trying to keep things from getting out of control. There is a past possible romantic involvement in Mary's life, who is an Anglo-Irish. In other words, he's Irish, but he was raised on the English continent, and he's a landowner. There is one evil guy, completely evil, and there is the pub owner, and we have constables who are comic relief as well. Because in a story like this, you need comic relief, right? Oh, and we have a dragoon who is part of that whole scenario with the constables. So another, oh, and also, woo, almost forgot this. So to carry it, because we cover quite a bit of time in the hour and 45 minutes that the play runs. So to carry it, we have a narrative piece, which is out of time. So you have grandma and her grandson discussing their family history from the time period of the 1920s in America, which gives you an idea of where they ended up. To me, this is an important story for a couple of reasons. One, that we forget our history, as the line of the play is, we forget who we are. And then we forget that we tend to lack a certain purpose going forward, right? In terms of immigration, it was also a very important play for me to write. In fact, that might have been the primary reason I wrote it to begin with. There are all kinds of reasons why people move to America. And there has been historically, and I think we need to remember that. When we forget our history, we can be very judgmental about immigration. We forget that there has been desperate people from Ireland, from Italy, from other places in Europe who came to our country. And it's never been easy, never been easy. We have two, three of the best long-term actors that Checo Pelican Players has. We have a couple of people who are brand new on stage and are outstanding. And we have some young people from Brookings Harbor High School who are also outstanding actors.
How much longer is Othenry on stage?
One more weekend. So Friday, Saturday, 7:30 and a 2 p.m. matinee on Sunday. Okay, why don't you guys talk about the play a little bit? You've been to see it.
I like it.
I got a cup thrown at me and it was exhilarating.
You went, you saw the play. What did you think?
I thought it was great. It was amazing. It was probably the best play I've ever seen.
I really liked it, too, so seeing a play about it was really nice.
It had so many different elements to it. Like, it wasn't just one thing. It had comedy, it had suspense, it had everything, and it kept me hooked.
Awesome. Good to hear. That was one of my goals. Here's the thing. So you have a couple of people who are very strong personalities, and their food supplies are dwindling, and Michael, the husband and father, wants to fight. You know, the Irish peasants have been under the control of the English aristocracy for hundreds of years. They've recently crawled out from underneath the penal laws, but they still are not free. They don't, you know, they're pretty much stuck with eating potatoes because all the other crops are being sent over to Europe. And as the famine heats up, which actually was all over Europe, just not as bad as Ireland, they're losing even more of their food. But he's still real focused on, you know, the element of patriotic pride. He doesn't want to let go. He's Irish. No one can take that from him. He's going to fight for what's his. His wife, who is, you know, stays close to the hearth and is aware of the hunger, the growing hunger, but also she just is really kind of entranced by the idea of America. She's trying to persuade him that that's the way to go. His sense of pride won't let him let go. Things just intensify as the hunger intensifies. And once it really starts affecting their family is when he decides to go a completely different direction, which is what ends up being the almost tragedy here. Well, you could call it a tragedy. I had in mind that it would end as a tragedy, but my wonderful players, whom I love so much, so you can't do that, not on this stage. And so I said, fine, we'll change directions with this. We'll make it not a tragedy.
What was your original direction for the play?
Oh, when you've read multiple stories about the Irish famine, everybody dies.
Okay? Wait, everyone was originally going to die?
Wait, what?
No, but actually, I was going to have it end kind of open-ended, because you see, Vinland Saga ended with Freydis being put on a ship, and there's a common theme in my plays here, right? Vinland Saga ended with Freydis being put on a ship and shipped off to the Great White North for the rest of their life, although there may be a sequel coming up, so dun-dun-dun. So, that was kind of my thought, is she ends up going to somewhere, and he ends up going.
I'm even more stressed than I was before.
Oh my gosh.
Who's your favorite character in the play?
I don't have a favorite character.
Oh, okay.
No, you can't catch me with that question. I'm a mom. I've had 4 kids. I don't have a favorite kid. I don't have a favorite character. So writing a script for community theater is like converting a document from one file type to another and having it come out with even more clarity and color than the original. Essentially, I take my research and my ability to spin a tale, develop characters from my heart, put the thoughts on a page, and then a couple of brilliant lead actors supported by an outstanding cast interpret those characters, bringing their own insight to the stage. It truly is a group project. Without the cast and their incredible ability, my writing would be just words on the page.
What do you do for a living?
I work for Southwestern Oregon Community College. I work here at the high school for the TRIO program. Essentially, what I do is I help our students with their after high school planning and career and college plans, and pretty much anything else they come in to ask me about at the Career Center.
How long have you been working with them?
I've worked here at the high school, worked here as in drawing a paycheck for, 4 or 5 years. I started here at the high school as a volunteer for Aspire when my oldest daughter was first starting because I wanted to know more about how to help her with her college plans. And I just stayed on. I don't even remember, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, a secretarial position opened up. I love the feel of the guidance office here. I felt it just exuded love and concern for students, and that's what I was all about. And so I worked my way into a paying job here, and then when the Southwestern job opened up, I grabbed at it.
What do you like to do in your free time in Brookings?
Well, that's an interesting question because I don't have free time. When I have any available time, I sleep. Which I don't get enough of. But the thing is that all of my occupations, whether they're paid or volunteer, I thoroughly enjoy. So now and then, you know what? When I really do have a few days and I just need a break, I'm laying on the riverbank.
What work do you do?
Well, let's see now. I'm on the BHEF board, the Brookings Harbor Education Foundation. We match teachers with funds. I'm never not busy.
Thank you for coming.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
We are here today with another guest in the studio, Mr. Merritt. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
So we heard that you're going to be leaving us at the end of the year. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, I am going to be leaving Brookings Harbor High School to go and work up in my hometown of Issaquah, Washington. It's outside of Seattle, and I'm going to be working as an associate principal, actually in an elementary school this next time.
How long have you worked here at Brookings Harbor High School?
It's been 4 years.
Wow.
4 years. Yeah, I've been here 4 years, and it's been great. This is a school with great students, committed teachers, and caring teachers, and I'm being here.
Is there something you're going to miss here about Brookings or the school?
All of you. I'm going to miss the students here. They're wonderful people. They have big dreams. They deserve all the best. They deserve all the best. And while I've been here, I have done the best that I know of, the best way I know how. And so I'm just grateful that I had the opportunity to, I get to watch my, the class that has had me all the way through graduate this year. And
who might take the position after you leave?
Yeah. I don't know for sure who that person's going to be, but I've been involved in the process, as amazing as it can be, who cares about teachers and families.
They might face when they come here.
You know, I think it's the same challenges that anyone who comes to a small town faces, which is everyone in town knows each other, but they don't know them yet. So it takes a while for everyone to get to know somebody new and trust them and see that they have their best interests at heart. So I think the challenges that the new person will face will simply be everyone will be watching to see what they do and how they treat people. But I think that the right person will come along and win everybody over. And that's what I'm hoping will happen. Other challenges that they'll face are simply the same challenges that I think any assistant principal faces at any high school these days. Attendance, bullying, making sure that the school culture is positive, trying to make sure that the classes that are offered at the high school, supporting teachers, those kinds of challenges happen at every high school.
What are some ways Brookings Harbor High School is different?
Well, Brookings Harbor High School is very special.
How so?
It is a smaller high school, and there are many high schools out there right now that are huge, 3,000 students. Brookings Harbor High School is a smaller high school, and that's one of my favorite things about it. I get to know just about everybody in the school, I think that also makes it a unique environment, too. The students here, many of them have known each other their whole lives. A number of the teachers here have lived in this area and worked together for their whole careers. I think that makes them close, and they really do know each other. And that's special. That's a unique environment. And I think part because of that, any new person who comes to this school is going to have to be somebody who really wants to get to know everybody.
Whoever they may be.
That's a great question. I would tell them that they need to get to know every kid in this school, because I've tried to do that, but I know there are a number of students I don't know as well as I should. People here are awesome. The students here are awesome. The parents are awesome. You, in order to truly get Brookings here, because they are tough, they are proud, they are resilient, they are a community, and getting to know them has been one of the most rewarding parts of my job. So I think that that's just gonna
to acclimate to the school.
If it's the right person, it won't be hard. And I think about I want that any new person is going to bring their own style to the job, and it might be a little different than mine, and have change when it's positive change. So that next person, I'm hoping they won't do everything the same way that I do, but I'm hoping that what they do differently is great. If they listen and they then those changes will be good ones. I'd like to thank Bruin News and Brookings Harbor High School and all the students, parents, and staff at Brookings Harbor High School for a amazing, life-changing 4 years for me. If I have helped any students here at the high school, I'm grateful for that. But I'm even more grateful for how much everyone has helped me grow and learn. And I will always appreciate Brookings and the students here. So thank you very much. And I look forward to hearing many more episodes of Bruin News in the future.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for asking me questions and having me here.
Brookings Harbor Rotary Club donated a variety of tasty snacks to the Brookings Harbor High School Faculty Staff Lounge. A thank you letter was signed by teachers, custodians, and administrators.
Prom is coming up on May 5th, a Saturday, and typically begins at 8 p.m. The theme of this year's prom is A Night Under the Stars. The theme colors will include silver and gold, and of course, a backdrop of black with star symbols planned in the decorations. One special feature that students are planning is a chocolate fountain. The Smith River Rancheria is again the intended site for prom. Attendees should expect to be breathalyzed before entry, just like previous years. We'll keep you posted on any new developments about prom.
You've just heard Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused program brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School, in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
This is KCIW LP, broadcasting at 100.7 FM in beautiful Brookings, Oregon.